Welcome to the Tony Tenor Show, Bipartisan Voice of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson. Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. On Instagram, we are @ToneAndTenorRadio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. On April 8, 1968, just 4 days after Dr. King's assassination, Representative John Connors, Democrat from Michigan, introduced legislation for a federal holiday to commemorate King. After many failed attempts to pass the legislation through continued perseverance by Coretta Scott King, Stevie Wonder, and others, the holiday bill passed the House on a vote of 338-90 in August of 1983. Despite bipartisan support and support from the Senate leadership, Senator Jesse Helms, Republican in North Carolina, led a bitter opposition to the bill in the Senate, calling Dr. King a communist. Helms circulated negative material in an effort to defeat the bill. Nevertheless, the Senate approved the bill by a vote of 78-22 in October of 1983. The Congressional Black Caucus was overjoyed in November of 1983 to witness President Ronald Reagan signing Public Law 98-144, which designated the third Monday in January as a federal holiday honoring Martin Luther King Jr. It was first observed 3 years later. At first, some states resisted observing the holiday as such, giving it alternative names and combining it with other holidays. It was officially observed in all 50 states for the first time in 2000. The National Martin Luther King Day of Service was started by former Pennsylvania U.S. State Senator Harris Walford and Atlanta Congressman John Lewis, who co-authored the King Holiday and Service Act. The federal legislation challenges Americans to transform the King holiday into a day of citizen action, of volunteer service in his honor. The federal legislation was signed into law by President William Jefferson Clinton on August 23, 1994. As we celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr., his legacy signifies a day of remembrance, service, and is not just a day off. Today's topic, COVID-19, a day of remembrance and service. Welcome to the Tony Tenor Show, Bipartisan Voices of the People. Well, we're back at it, Pat, and this week we are remembering, on Monday, we're remembering the birth date of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King as a day of service, not a day off, but a day on. And this all was started by two gentlemen that some people really liked. The late Senator Harris Walford, who, what miraculously, he passed away on Martin Luther King Day of Service 2 years ago. You know, we had the opportunity to attend Senator Wofford's homegoing service, and it was a very interesting time, you know, that someone, you know, of his caliber, and who most people don't know, worked with Dr. King and during the marches and was a young lawyer at the time. So Dr. King, you know, a lot of folks, you know, day of service, if you read about him, he was always about service to others. But, you know, just like any other holiday in the United States, it became commercialized. And
I don't think it ever became commercialized because there was a lot of, I mean, shoot, they didn't celebrate in Arizona until the 90s, right?
Right, but still, the holiday as it was combined, the retailers, again, took that time because people were off from work to run, just like any other holiday, run sales.
Yeah, there's a huge gap between was it the December holidays, which is Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, all that cool stuff. There's a huge gap until you get to Valentine's Day or President's Day. So, I mean, it seems logical from a capitalistic view.
Yeah, but when you look at that, then you have to think about it.
Not saying I agree, though.
When you get to February, you know, we call that Black History Month the shortest day of the year.
Well, it was picked by Carter G. Woodson, so there's a whole nother. We don't have time to go into that.
But, we'll talk about that when we get to February.
Sure, sure. But we had a. It's so funny because Baltimore, living in Baltimore, actually made me do the research on that when I had a program at that school, Carter G. Woodson Elementary School. Shout out Baltimore. Yeah, so he chose that. So that wasn't like they gave it to us type thing.
So, you know, our topic is a day of remembrance and service. So as we look back over the past week and going forward, you know, we can focus on or remember a lot of things that have taken place here in the United States, specifically the riots that took place in Washington,
was it a
D.C.
riot?
Well, we can't call it a protest.
Let's call it a rally.
It started out as a rally.
That went left.
And we're not, you know, when we say left, we're not talking about political party.
Yeah.
All right? Let's make that straight. Get that straight right now. But like anything else, we now have backlash of this rally because predominantly in this rally were people that were not of color. But if we go back in history.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, if we go back in history, things that happened. But when you go with the Bull Connors and you go back when black folks tried to stand up for the same thing that people are saying now, stand up for their rights, they were dehumanized. Dogs put on them, water pushed at them, but I don't recall until recently.
Oh, you're referring to the fire hoses and stuff down south.
I don't recall until recently that.
You know, those were kids, by the way.
Right.
Those were teenagers.
You think about John Lewis was only 19.
No, but I'm talking about even younger than him.
Right.
Like, I forgot it was something that I read, and then I watched two documentaries, and I was like, what?
Yeah,
like,
they were actually, that came together to form and to stand up for what they felt was right.
Yeah.
The same as what happened during the George Floyd rallies that's we got to be fair, that turned left too. in our cities.
And they burned down
and
police
destroyed
station.
Destroyed cities, destroyed businesses, you know. And to be fair, those same people should have been prosecuted or were prosecuted or went after. But we have to look at it from a standpoint that this was a federal
building. Here's the difference, though. And this is not the first time a federal building has been attacked by white people. Let's be clear.
Oh, it happened here in Philadelphia.
Philly.
Remember,
and then
they
was like,
spray painted not too long ago.
Yeah, there was like one in like Wyoming somewhere. I'll get y'all the details on that. But like, they took that building over. It was like a bird observatory.
State capital,
like
Michigan, was taken over.
Oh, yeah. And they tried to kidnap the governor. So, yeah. But so here's my non-biased view on this. I went back and listened to our soon-to-be former President Trump's. I went back and listened to his that speech, I guess, or there really wasn't anything where he really said anything about being violent. But I could see where people can interpret that because maybe his hand gestures and so on and so forth.
Well, it was. I believe it, like you said, it was hand gestures. Mm-hmm. But if you look at what one point you saw him actually marching during that speech. And, you know, some people can be easily influenced and they would take something to the extreme and jump on an opportunity, you know. And they saw an opportunity, jumped on it, and, you know, people were still upset over an election that every court, even the court, the highest court in the nation.
Yeah, they lost 60 times. Like, we're not doing that.
You know, 60 times, but people are still talking about, you know, that they still should go, the court should still not, should have stepped in and Vice President, President-elect Biden should, it should be overturned.
Yeah, well, here's their perspective. You know, I guess they feel slighted. And I get it, because I mean, think about it. 70 million people did vote for this individual. But here's my thing. All of the rallies that went left, right? And we're not talking about
party.
We're talking about the figure of speech. None of those people went to anybody's business in D.C. and tore it down. They went straight to the source. Let's call it. Listen,
they went to the people's house.
Let's call
they,
it down.
They went to they the went people's to, house.
The people that's the problem, and all of them are not the problem. Let's be clear on right. that. But probably right. like 70% of them are. They went to their house. They went to the Capitol. Like, listen, this is what we want. We want it now. I guess, again, I don't necessarily agree with their approach, but let's talk about it from a logical standpoint, mm-hmm. right? They went to the source.
The people's house.
And, you know, I don't think they demanded anything. They just kind of tore the place up. But they went to the source. Now, if we talk about Philly, Baltimore, Minnesota, all these places.
Atlanta.
They didn't go to the source. They should have took that. Take that engine down to City Hall. Listen.
Take it to your government builders and to those people that you elected to represent you. That's one of the biggest problems that we have. You know, and I thought it was interesting, you know, when all of these major companies decided that they were going to not back certain politicians. Comcast. But
like
think
that,
about
like that makes a difference.
But think about this, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot back you because the 116th Congress has already delivered what I lobbied them for.
Mm-hmm.
So unless there's something new coming in the 117th Congress that I'm going to lobby you for mm-hmm. as one of those major corporations, you know, this is nothing new. Dark mm-hmm. money has been running elections mm-hmm. day in and day out.
Yeah, but political beyond
packs,
that.
Political packs mm-hmm. of these organizations have been doling money out, whether they're corporations, whether they're unions, whether they're those 529s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been doling this money out. And people that get lost in the sauce are the folks that actually go to the polls mm-hmm. and vote. Sure. Because, you know, it's a bigger picture. You read last week. Look at how many of our elected officials just in Congress are millionaires and or let's say multimillionaires.
Yep.
You know, let's look at when you come down to your state houses, how many of those folks, look at what they're making. You come down to your cities like Philadelphia, where that you have folks sitting in offices making six-figure salaries in part-time jobs. Yes, I'm going to continue to beat that over the head. And the constituents are not serviced. So the folks took their, like you said, take the argument to the, where the folks are.
Yeah, because I'm known for doing that. If I see you, and y'all know this.
And take it. Take when we say take it. Not with the intent to destroy, because you're not going to gain anything by destroying.
I mean, it depends.
It could just be a fear factor.
Yeah.
You know, right now, and right now there's a fear factor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, going on. Everybody's running scared, whether it's nationally, local, or regional. But when we talk about that, think about this. 2020. January 2020, we are now in the same predicament as we were in January 2020, except we are inaugurating a new president on January 20th, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But we were embedded in the impeachment of President Trump in January.
It's a daily dollar short.
But think about this. During that time, COVID-19 was coming to the United States. Our leadership...
No, I was already here.
Right. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. The briefings were done, but because we were so engrossed, our leadership was so engrossed on one side to impeach him and the other side to defend him, that innocent people lost their lives. Mm-hmm. Can we just blame Donald J. Trump for that? No. We have to look at the leadership. On both sides of the eye.
But how do we look at the leadership? But when you see them, and I'm known, and you know I'm known for doing this, especially when people have something derogatory to say about me. When I see you and you pop, I pull right up on you. I don't care where we at. I don't care if you eat. I'm gonna sit right at your table, and I'm gonna talk to you because at the end of the day, I'm paying your salary. My taxes pay your salary. Yeah. And this is the same thing for all of you out there. That is part of your responsibility as a constituent or a voter.
You have to address. Don't let an organization that's in the pocket of these politicians. You have to take a stance, just like Dr. King and SNCC did, and others during that time took a stance. But we are no better off.
Yeah, that's good. Well,
No. We are no better off.
No, I'm agreeing with you. But it's because of what they asked for. They asked for the wrong thing, right? You want a seat. You want a seat on the bus instead of the bus or the bus depot.
Well, nowadays, you know, sometimes you got to build the bus and build the table.
I mean,
because right now you can't even get a seat on either one, really.
Well, listen,
Senator, you got to build it yourself.
Listen, a great senator once said, you know, if they don't have a chair for you at the table, bring a folding chair. So folks out here paying taxes, people are out in the community doing work, people go to work every day. Well, they were able to go to work prior to COVID, but I think it's extremely important to, first of all, decide, right? Because nothing's more scary than a made up mind, right? Which is why, like I said, I don't necessarily agree with everything that those folks did, but I get it, right? Because nothing's scarier than a made up mind. They decided and they organized. And they made their way down. And this wasn't new. That was just the entree to the appetizer that happened. Because there was plenty of state capitals from Michigan to Pennsylvania and so on and so forth where they went to the capital and Wisconsin. They did something similar. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why people are so confused or don't understand what's going on. Like, this was going to happen because when you're dealing with folks who are accustomed to having certain privileges, let's call it what it is, and they're wiped away due to COVID or, you know, again, we don't even know.
COVID, unemployment, lack of jobs. You know, they're now seeing the other side of the fence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they don't like that side of the fence.
Yeah. Welcome to poverty.
Let's keep it real. You know, we could sit here, we could discuss that day in and day out.
Sure.
But, you know, until, as Mike Vito said, until we bring this decisiveness and this divide closer together, you know, and we have to stop blaming each other and bring people, as you said, bring the folding chair to the table and have the conversation.
Yeah.
And then once you have the conversation, you don't leave the conversation until you have ironclad accountability and solutions.
Sure.
You know, we can talk the talk all day long. We can remember Dr. King 365 days of the year. Mm-hmm. But if we as a people or people as a whole does not come together for the betterment of all mankind, we're going to be talking about this. Well, I won't be sitting in there because if I'm sitting here 20 years from now, I'll be in the wheelchair. You'll be pushing me in here. You know, as my aunt said, we'll be talking about this till the cows come home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
and this is where we need to really hold people accountable. You know, going forward, hopefully next month, we will develop a scorecard that we can put out there where people can keep score on their elected officials.
Sure, sure. But to that point, so definitely, folks, you need to check out, because we know, again, me and Randall touched on this at the end of last year, and I'm going to keep touching on this. So there is an election coming up for judges. There's an election coming up for judges. So while you're worried about, you know, the next dance craze or whatever nonsense that you might be overly concerned with outside of regular living, we need to understand that there's going to be a statewide race with judges, right? Judges can affect a lot. And just to give you guys some context on how courts should be versus how they are, right? Currently, our courts are biased, gerrymandered, and rigged. So biased, subject to
the... No.
What?
Really?
Oh. I mean, I've seen them with my own two eyes. So subject to the political and local pressures of serving narrow constituency instead of all of Pennsylvania. Jammed into gerrymandered districts created by partisan politicians in Harrisburg, voters can only hold accountable 3 judges instead of all 31, right? There's 31, y'all, and make decisions about their lives. So what it should be is free from conflict of interest and under the influence of following clearly defined rules of behavior or definitive lines. Selected in as fair and impartial as possible, with a process that's insulated from political issues or unions. Every judge's performance should be regularly evaluated by voters or a neutral, nonpartisan, or non-interest group. So there should be some type of third party. I know there was some, when I was in the Senate, I think there was somebody who tried to do that, but it didn't make it past committee for obvious reasons. So this is some things to think about in the interim while we're talking about today's topic.
You know, and again, a day of remembrance and a day of service. You know, people want to serve. You know, don't just look at that one day as big. You know, because most of the people on MLK Day, there'll be TV cameras all around people. All the feel-good stories will be out there. People will be doing, distributing a box of food. An elected official will be standing up there, you know, smiling and profiling and, you know, talking about what could be done, what should be done. But yet and still, some have been sitting in those offices
still getting a check.
Over 10 years. Some during COVID have been receiving full pay and their staff's full pay, while other folks are out here trying to figure out where their next meal is coming from, where their rent's coming from, where their how their child is going to make it through the educational system, which is a totally another animal amongst themselves. Mm. You know, but when you think about Dr. King and you think about the marches, they went behind closed doors. They came out with a plan.
Yep.
When they did a bus boycott, those folks, they did not take the bus.
Yeah. Speaking of which, shout out to that group in Atlanta that shut that gas station down.
Right.
But with that said, we got to go to our first commercial break. You're listening to Tone and Tenor, A Day of Remembrance and Service.
If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. By giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve.
Our country, this wonderful place, this little piece of real estate that we call America, was built, founded on service. We didn't necessarily wait for local, state, or the national government. We came together as a people, and we just did it.
I was one of 4 6-year-old children, girls, to integrate the public school system here in New Orleans in 1960. When I look at the Norman Rockwell painting and I see myself, I always say that the lesson I took away was a lesson that Dr. King tried to teach all of us. And that was that we should never look at a person and judge them by the color of their skin. I crossed a picket line, a mob, every day for a whole year. There was a woman there to greet me. She did everything she could to make my day fun. She not only taught me, but she read stories to me. We played games. I knew that if I got past the mob and inside of the building, I was going to have a great day. And it was because of her. So she showed me her heart. And I began to realize that there was no way she was like the people outside. I couldn't judge her the same way. And so I believe at that moment, I learned the lesson that Dr. King died trying to teach us.
In 1957, when I was 17 years old, I wrote Martin Luther King Jr. a letter. Told him I wanted to attend a little college about 10 miles from my home, and this school didn't admit black students. He wrote me back and sent me a round-trip Greyhound bus ticket. I traveled to Montgomery. I saw Dr. King standing behind a desk. He said to me, "Are you the boy from Troy? Are you John Lewis?" I was so scared, I didn't know what to say or what to do. And I said, "Dr. King, I'm John Robert Lewis." He gave my whole name. He was so inspiring. He was so moving. And somehow, in some way, I wanted to become part of that movement. And I did.
For a long time, people fought to get the King holiday in. And it finally got achieved nearly 25 years ago. But it was sermons, talks, meetings, lunches. And one day I said to myself, this is wrong. If Martin Luther King were here, you say, that's not what I want on my day. I teamed up with John Lewis in the House and many Republican and Democratic colleagues of mine in the Senate.
We felt that Martin Luther King Jr. was a man of service, and his day, then federal holiday, should be a day of service.
When the Congress passed the legislation, it was sort of like a reading wedding vows, that we were marrying a commitment to serve the common good and to let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. We lost a great soul. He took chances. He lived daringly. He didn't let the fear of harassment or persecution deter his mission. He stayed focused and committed. While he died at a young age, he lived a long life in terms of service and witness. He piled into those 39 years, 100 years or more of service and preaching and loving, caring.
My father said an individual has not started to live until he or she can rise above the narrow confines of his or her individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of humanity.
Tony Tenner here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our topic today is a day of remembrance, a day of service and service. You know, we just listened to John Lewis, Dr. King's daughter, Senator Harris Wofford, President Clinton, and others talk about why this day of service is important. And it's a commitment to serve the common good. You know, you don't have to wait on your local, regional, or federal government to act. People came together back then to serve, to help others. Pat and I can attest to that, that we work tirelessly. We don't add, we're not looking.
I don't know about no day of service. I do this all the time.
We do it all the time. You know, we don't wait on others. The folks that we are affiliated with don't wait on others.
Nope.
Because if we know, just like Dr. King and everyone else, there's a need out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the need during this time is bigger than it was years ago. And it's still growing.
Oh, it's just magnified now.
It's magnified. I call it growing. It's magnifying.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just black folks. It's not just Latinos. It's all folks. It includes whites. Everyone in these United States are touched by COVID-19 and this pandemic.
Yeah, but even prior to that, the numbers show that per capita, there was more white people on like welfare and these social services than anybody else. You know, especially when you look at Appalachia or even here, Kensington, Port Richmond, right? These are places where, you know, there are folks of the Caucasian persuasion that are very, very poor.
And think about it, you know, back then, people didn't have as much as they do now.
Oh, yeah.
But they were able to come together as households to work together.
Or your block.
They were able to have homes. They were able to, if they saw something that was not right, they could come together.
Wait, is this before or after redlining?
Well, redlining, you know when redlining started.
Okay.
And redlining is coming back, even though most of our elected officials don't want to admit it, because of gentrification.
Mm.
You know,
some of them, that's because someone was causing it, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, so we have to look at, but at the end of the day, Pat, this is not about just Democrat, Republican, left or right, black, white, people of color and white. Mm. This should be about those, the American people. But again, when we live in a capitalistic society,
mm-hmm.
and we have the internet reporters, and we have the media is also split, most people don't know who to believe.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, and why? Because they're not educated in the basics of understanding politics anymore. And understanding the election process. Not, you know, hats off to what happened in Georgia. I mean, that was because a group of people took it upon themselves to understand the process, to look at where the numbers were. It's a process. And also, there were people running against one another. There was not people running unopposed.
Yeah, but I mean, this was more about, again, what I said about organization, right? Even the organs in your body, right? Organs, they organize to keep you alive. Same concept. Unfortunately, us as humans haven't figured that out yet. So basically, what set them off, it was a protest of 66 nonstop days of demonstrations outside of a gas station off of Flat Shoals Road.
That's in Georgia.
They wanted to send a clear message because the owner, Raheem Sivji, who I guess he parted ways with the clerk, but basically the clerk said out loud that he didn't give an explicit about, you know, the black neighborhood that they are serving. And word got back. And this is what happens. You know, 66 days later, they're selling the gas station because
it's not going to survive. And that was a protest and or rally, whichever, that was not formed with violence.
Mm-mm.
It was people that were taking back their community or making sure that somebody was in their community that wanted to serve and be a part of the community. Mm-hmm. You know, what happens is a lot of times we have businesses in our communities that come in, they're there, and 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night before it becomes too dark, they're shuttered down, and all of the funds leave the community.
Sure.
You know, one of the things that needs to happen is, you know, we have all these folks talk about fiscal and supporting each other, but until we get viable businesses in the communities where we can turn over our money. Now, there are other ethnic groups that actually do this and do it well.
Yeah, but the difference between them and us is that they've had a fair opportunity to recover from their Holocaust. Let's start there. Number two is black business only makes up about 2.5%. After COVID, who knows how much just actual black-owned and operated business. I'm not talking about minority or any of the other sprinkles or seasoning they put in the pot. I'm talking about straight up black and brown businesses only make up 2.5% of all small business. And then we don't know what the COVID numbers have done to that. You know, we probably won't know until sometime in February.
And we may not even know then until years after.
I mean, like the long-term residual effects for sure.
The long-term residual effects of what has happened to businesses. And when you talk about businesses, we're not just talking about barbers, hair salons, restaurants. We're talking about true, viable businesses, you know, that are
garages, financial services, things of that nature. But a lot of, but even banks, which we don't have a lot of banks, y'all. Like, banks have been slowly scaled back since, since 100 years
banks,
ago.
Banks, we had this conversation before you came in. Most of our banks were gobbled up by the larger white institutions.
Mm-mm, even prior to that, there was, I forgot what that bill was. There was, basically when they gutted like the first two black banks.
Right.
And that was kind of the beginning of the end. And it continues to happen every like 20, 30 years, just like the crash of 1929. It just keeps happening. But anything that happens on larger scale is magnified in our communities by at least 5 to 10 fold. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So whatever we're seeing on the grand scale as far as, you know, because I think what happens is a lot of folks thought that the economy was okay is because of the stock market, but the stock market has nothing to do with that person that lives in Kensington or in North Philly
or the person or 50 Second Life lives in any urban community
or in Norristown
that's predominantly of color
or poor, period. Yeah. Like that has nothing, the stock market has nothing to do with them.
Because those folks don't have any money in this. The majority of them don't have any money in the stock market.
And there you have it. Yeah, and that's the caveat. So, I think it was very misleading when they were putting that, or they were trying to put that in play, to not talk about the fact that, you know, like 40 million people were unemployed. Mm-hmm. As soon as COVID really, really hit, 40 million people plus were unemployed just that quick.
But look how much money those organizations or those corporations saved. You know, especially those they sent home to work from home.
Yeah, we got 25. I think America has 25 to 30 million people right now that are working from home. I mean, that's great for them. But again, what about that young lady that we spoke about many shows ago where she has to, it's a 2-hour trip to and from, over 2.5 hours, I think it was, for her to go get food because her and her husband worked in the food industry.
In Washington.
And out in D.C. Mm-hmm. That is scary. Mm.
Well, we're up against our next break. Our topic today is COVID-19, a day of remembrance and service.
This is the most important and crucial period of your lives, for what you do now and what you decide now at this age may well determine which way your life shall go. And the question is whether you have a proper, a solid, and a sound blueprint. And I want to suggest some of the things that should be in your life's blueprint. Number one in your life's blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth, and your own somebodyness. Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth. And always feel that your life has ultimate significance. Secondly, in your life's blueprint, you must have as a basic principle the determination to achieve excellence in your various fields of endeavor. You're going to be deciding as the days and the years unfold what you will do in life, what your life's work will be. Once you discover what it will be, set out to do it and to do it well. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. Finally, in your life's blueprint must be a commitment to the eternal principles of beauty, love, and justice. Well, life for none of us has been a crystal star, but we must keep moving. We must keep going. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl, but by all means, keep moving.
Crawford and use me. This is what it's about. You know, we don't need the cameras. We don't need the photo ops. We just need to be out there doing the work and serving one another. You know, our topic today is COVID-19, a day of remembrance and service. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
We're here on WWDB Talk 860 out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, Pat, as we think about this and being out there and looking around and wondering what's next in the next coming days, months with the inauguration.
We know what's next.
About to take place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope folks don't get into the false hope, because COVID is still out there. COVID-19 is still out there. We're approaching 400,000 deaths. Hospital beds are full. The vaccine is not being distributed in warp Operation Warp Speed has turned into Operation Slow Speed.
Pony Express. You know,
and, you know, we have folks now that people don't even know whether, you know, they have to wait on waiting lists. There's a million people waiting. So as you're out there doing your day of service, remember the pandemic is still live and well. COVID-19 is alive and well. Practice your social distancing. Practice washing your hands.
It's actually physical distancing.
Physical distancing, washing your hands, and be mindful of the elderly and those that you actually are working towards and working for. And, you know, our President-elect Biden is actually saying he's going to get 100 million people vaccinated in 100 days.
Yeah, I don't care about that. What I need them to focus on is your nutrition, folks. A lot of y'all not drinking water. Like, I've actually had arguments with my friends about this. You know, you guys are drinking purified water. Purified water, if you drink that over a period of time, it will rot the teeth out of your mouth. You need to be drinking water that has a pH balance of 8 or higher. Anything below 7 is acid. So basically, like, no offense, but Dasani water, that stuff is trash. There are certain waters, or it has to say on the label, pulled from source, which will give you a pH balance of 8 or higher. There's some other things you can do by adding citrus to your water, like actual fresh citrus, like lime, lemon, things of that nature, turmeric, garlic, ginger, maca root, all that stuff. Like, please don't count on fully on Western medicine to save your life, because we know, you know, just talking about the Tuskegee Project and all that, which is why a lot of black people don't want the shot. It's fair. It's absolutely fair. Folks thought they were getting vaccination and they were getting syphilis. So let's not forget that happened. And your government did that. Let's not forget that. So just putting things in perspective again, again, from a non-bias, I'm just giving y'all the information. You do with it what you will.
And that's good information, Pat, because, again, you know, COVID, they are going all across this nation. You know, we may end up with another a problem where people will be gathering. You know, they will be gathering to honor Dr. King in a day of service. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you also have to remember that we are still in the midst of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, and you must take care of yourself as well as take care of those around you.
Sure.
You know, we do it every week. You know, when we're out there with the food, if people are standing up on top of one another, we stop what we're doing. Out, yeah. We tell them that they have to be socially distanced 6 feet or physically distanced 6 feet, as you want to say, or we will shut it down. I mean, because we can't risk folks. We're all trying to do what's right.
Sure.
But we also have to keep in mind the health of others while we're doing it.
Absolutely. That's true.
You know. So, Pat, you know, one thing, you know, as we talk about service, and you know, we're out there. One thing I like to consider, and I will say this, at least back in Dr. King's day, you knew where folks stood. They called you whatever. But,
well, I mean, we know
you
now.
But we're out there doing service. 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, freezing.
Yeah, it do be cold. It really does.
Freezing. And we get profiled. Yeah. You know, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to go in detail right now because we're waiting for a response from the Norristown Police Department. But I will say that will not deter us. We will be back in Norristown serving the people. And it may not be 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday, but we will be there doing what we do. But we will let folks know what actually happened last Sunday if we are not contacted by the lieutenant from Norristown Police Department on what we asked them to do.
Yeah, we'll see.
If it doesn't happen, we will let you know, and it will be all in the press. They already know. They know the press release is ready to go.
Absolutely.
You know, with that said, you know, Pat, again, we'll be out on Martin Luther King Day doing what we do, serving the people, along with our partners in, at West Philadelphia Together, our partners in Norristown, our partners, the Charles Foundation. Was it the Outside Church or Church Outside?
Church Outside.
Church Outside. Town Watch. You know, shout out to all those folks that will be out there doing what we do to serve the people. And it's not just one day. We do it 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah, easily. But I mean, but part of it too is just understanding, because you know, I always like to go to the root of the word, right? And the word service is serve.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, please understand when you're out and serving people, you know, people can be annoying and frustrating because they're humans, right? You got to understand that. So remember, the root of the word is to serve others.
Mm-hmm. With that said, we're going to close our show, but we're going to go back to something we haven't been doing lately, and we're going to say their TAC. TAC is the acronym that we've been using, and it's called T is for transparency, A is for accountability, and C is for credibility, and K is for knowledge. T is for trust, H is for honest, E is for ethics, I is for integrity, and R is for responsibility. So their TAC as in regards to our organizations and to our elected officials.
Yeah.
Listeners, follow our show on social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. To find us on Facebook, type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor to find our page. You can also find us on Instagram at Tone and Tenor Radio and on Twitter at Tone and Tenor. Our studio engineer today was Mr. Mike Vito. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm. I also say intent is irrelevant. You are the product of your results. I am Pat Edward.
The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Out of the night, Invictus, out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my uncomparable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstances, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bellowings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People. Talk radio show here on WWDB 860 AM out of Philadelphia. See you next week.